This video is sponsored by War Thunder. Joe Rogan's long conversation format does something most media can't. It gives people enough time to really open up, and sometimes more than they probably should. People get comfortable, they let their guard down, they start talking like they would with a friend instead of how they would at a press conference. And that's when things get really interesting. When the casual admissions start slipping out, when the contradictions pile up, and when you ultimately realize the person sitting there might not be quite who you thought they were. And in those moments, Joe Rogan realizes his guest is compromised. So first, let's talk about someone who discreetly became one of the world's leading podcasters, platforming major political figures and powerful billionaires along the way. If you spent any time in the podcast world, you probably already know who Lex Fridman is, the MIT researcher in the black suit with the monotone voice, who positions himself as this neutral intellectual seeking truth and understanding. And Lex isn't some bad guy necessarily, and he's not some master manipulator, but he's seemingly a guy who seems to have developed a severe case of main character syndrome. When Lex comes on the Joe Rogan Experience, talking about his interviews with world leaders like Zelensky and his plans to interview Putin, Joe asks the question everyone should be asking.
It's like, why are you doing it? You know what I mean? Like, why this guy who works in AI just decides he's going to start a podcast, the podcast becomes very successful, and all of a sudden he's like, I'd like to talk to everybody. I'd like to go over and talk to Zelensky and talk to Putin. And everybody's like, why you? What the fuck are you doing?
That's the fundamental question, and Joe knows it. Random academics don't usually just start interviewing presidents during active wars. But listen to how Lex responds. He doesn't really explain how he got this access. Instead, he just talks about his mission.
I'm aware of the risks. I accept the risks. And the goal, the mission, is to just push for peace, to do my small part in pushing for peace.
This is a podcaster on YouTube talking like he's been appointed by the UN to broker peace negotiations. A couple of weeks after his famous Zelensky interview, he then turned on him, right in the middle of the war. And this is all after praising him consistently in his Joe Rogan appearances. Lex even said he'd had a few days to think about and posted an extremely egotistical rant criticizing the Ukrainian president for his crude words about Vladimir Putin.
I give the president every single chance to signal willingness to negotiate, knowing that both Trump and Putin will listen to this conversation. I don't think he took it, and instead chose to speak very crude words towards Vladimir Putin.
As if Lex is the moral arbiter in one of the worst wars in recent history. But when you see his response to the Ukrainian war, you start to realize there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Throughout his media appearances, he's constantly introduced as a research scientist from MIT. But what's rarely mentioned is that his PhD is actually from Drexel University, not MIT, and that he just holds a non-faculty research position. As of 2024, Lex lives in Austin, Texas, appearing on MIT's campus only occasionally while still drawing on MIT's salary. So how did he really build his platform? And where did he come from? And how has he got access to all of these major figures? Well, in 2019, he published an allegedly completely bogus Tesla study claiming that autopilot kept drivers alert, contradicting every legitimate study on the topic. AI experts destroyed it, calling it deeply flawed. MIT was so embarrassed that they scrubbed it from their entire website. So why did he do it? Well, it was actually a genius social move. As a former MIT colleague said, Lex was just excited to get in touch with Elon Musk and get into his good graces. And it appears the whole study might have just been a networking scheme. And it worked greatly. Tesla then flew him out and he was able to interview Elon Musk, and suddenly his Nobody podcast became something massive. And a common theme in this podcast was about peace and love, and how this is his mission for his media career. He once said,
I'm a silly little kid trying to do a bit of good in this world.
Like a hopeless romantic striving for connection. But nothing shows you Friedman's love everyone philosophy quite like watching him defend history's biggest mass murderer on the podcast.
He always said, you can surrender and then we would not murder anybody. You just have to follow the law.
So yeah. Everybody could have just laid down and 10% of the world's population wouldn't be dead?
Yes.
He also says that Genghis Khan was progressive, and so obviously Joe pushed back that this was probably false, to which Friedman just says nope.
But there's a lot of progressive aspects, like he put a lot of women in positions of power.
Yeah, but he did a lot of raping.
Nope.
Joe then later accuses him of whitewashing the atrocities and pushes back on defending Genghis's brutal regime, to which Freeman retreats.
And by the way, I'm regretting defending Genghis Khan in this conversation for fun.
war is hell.
Notice that, for fun, you can float any idea, no matter how morally bankrupt, then claim intellectual curiosity when called out. People have consistently identified a pattern in Lex's media appearances. Bloomberg reported that tech CEOs view his podcast as a friendlier alternative to more adversarial interviews with traditional journalists. The Verge called him a softball interviewer, while The Atlantic observed he does not maintain even a thin veneer of journalistic detachment. But when you watch him in any of these podcasts, you notice something about him. He always cuts away from his podcast to face the camera and lecture the audience about something at the end to steal the attention and the limelight, never letting anyone have a final say. So here's a guy who built a media platform through networking and fake credentials, then convinced himself he's been chosen to broker world peace, all whilst completely slandering Zelensky for opposing Putin's war in Ukraine.
And you still talk to me like that? Do you know how? As if Putin wants to sit down and talk, but Ukraine does not. This is not true.
I think that, yes, he is in fact ready to talk.
Did you talk to him?
On the phone or what?
How do you normally talk to him?
I don't know. Normally by the sea.
So it's really no wonder that many are questioning whether he himself is an intelligence asset. Whether that's possible or he's just drunk on his own importance, the result is the same. And it's all wrapped up in a love everyone philosophy that ensures nobody powerful ever faces real accountability. The performative nature of Freeman's persona became painfully clear when he brought his guitar to play the show's theme as a thank you for 10 years of Joe Rogan experience.
His name is Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, shoulders for days and a really wide back. Joe Rogan, Joe Rogan, a barrel of snakes for a back.
It was really humiliating, which you can tell from Joe Rogan's reaction as he clocks onto the fake persona of Lex.
You fucked up. You should have never done that song. It was terrible.
It might just be what happens when someone is compromised by their own ego, outgrowing their qualifications by several orders of magnitude. But then there were truly compromised people. People like Mike Baker, who comes onto Joe Rogan with ulterior motives. You see, Mike Baker served as a covert field operations officer in the CIA for 17 years. He has 21 documented appearances stretching all the way back to episode 541 10 years ago. For someone who appears so frequently on the world's biggest podcast, the audience's reaction is often quite subdued. One expectation is when he conveniently appears just before or following a major controversial event or incident, which he then seeks to rationalize with his friendly dad-like CIA persona. You see, there's that well-known saying, there's no such thing as a retired CIA agent. Baker pretty much proved that in his very last appearance on the show. When Joe jokes about his phone being compromised, Baker drops this admission.
Oh no, in fact, and I'm in the building on occasion, and we're actually working on a show that's going to be a great TV show based on this amazing museum that's inside agency headquarters. But nobody ever says that. We have a really nice relationship. They don't tell me what to say. If I go on TV to talk about something, they just like, you know, it's not like they're going to call up and say, well, here's our view on this.
They trust right? you.
Yeah, they trust me. I'm not going to open my app and talk sources and methods. And
he's still in the building, still working on projects with them, still maintaining that really nice relationship where they trust him not to reveal classified information. Doesn't really sound a lot like retirement. But before we continue, I want to tell you about our video sponsor, War Thunder. War Thunder is the most comprehensive vehicle combat game ever made and is available now for free on PC, consoles, and mobile devices, where you can take command of over 2,500 tanks, planes, helicopters, and ships of 10 major nations, ranging from biplanes and armored cars of the 1920s to the fighter jets and main battle tanks of today. In fact, War Thunder features one of the most advanced damage models in gaming. Every tank, plane, and ship is modeled down to its individual components. X-ray view lets you see exactly how vehicles are destroyed from shell penetration to crew impact. The new mobile version brings massive multiplayer battles to iOS and Android with intuitive controls and great visuals. And you can choose from arcade, realistic, or simulator mode depending on how intense and authentic you want the combat, where you'll be immersed in the intense combat of War Thunder with incredibly detailed vehicles, realistic graphics, and authentic sound effects, placing you right at the helm of the most powerful war machines of our time. Drive any tank will fly any aircraft with nothing but your mouse and keyboard or controller, even in simulator mode, and join a worldwide community of over 95 million players in epic PvP battles today. Play War Thunder for free on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, or mobile devices now by using the links in my pinned comment or my video description. New and returning players on PC and consoles that haven't played in the last 6 months will also receive a massive bonus pack across all platforms that includes multiple premium vehicles, the exclusive vehicle decorator Eagle of Valor, 100,000 silver lions, and 7 days of premium account. It's available for a limited time only, so be quick. One of Mike Baker's prime techniques is revealing partial truths to establish credibility while protecting deeper secrets. This is called a limited hangout, a term which itself originated during the Nixon administration's Watergate scandal. First appearing in White House tapes in 1973, where officials discussed releasing some damaging information to satisfy public curiosity while concealing more serious crimes. And here's an example of Baker making a controlled admission on Joe Rogan's podcast.
God damn it, of course we steal secrets. That's the point of the exercise, right?
When Joe raises concerns about intelligence agencies acting autonomously outside elected government control, in other words, the deep state, Baker reacts in more or less the same way, again taking a superficial stance that softens the idea of nefarious government control or social engineering.
I think the thing that people are weirded out by when it comes to intelligence agencies in this day and age is that they kind of act autonomously. They kind of act outside of what we think of as the government. And that's the term, the deep state, that everybody's so concerned with. There's a government that has its own rules and its own ability to enact things that are outside of elected officials and yeah. the will of the people.
I guess there's two parts to this. Is one is never say never, right? I mean, I you never want to discount the idea that the intel community or law enforcement or whatever could, you know, essentially develop a mind of its own, work separate from whatever government administration that people think they've elected into office. So never say that couldn't happen, because you always want to be wary of that.
Classic Baker fails to answer the question. The idea of the deep state is reasonable, normal, or ordinary. He appears to validate the concerns while actually deflecting them. He satisfies conspiracy-minded listeners while protecting the institution by claiming that in his experience, the agency was uniquely apolitical. Baker's obsession with secrecy reveals the institutional mindset that drives intelligence. He returns to this theme repeatedly, almost compulsively.
If you've signed an agreement, if you've signed a deal that says you're not going to talk about something, you know, shut your pie hole.
Despite his role being to essentially make intelligence more ordinary or transparent, Baker's worldview reveals itself through his just following orders mentality.
I'm sure there's all sorts of flaws in the way that I'm thinking, but I'm a very simple person. When I was in operations, you tell me what to do, I'll do it, right? I never sat around and got angsty about anything because I just didn't see any point in it. And so,
again, pragmatic.
You know. So what does that make you feel about the following Freudian slip, which came in his very first Joe Rogan Experience appearance back in 2014?
We're not trying to at the end of the day, bust somebody. I mean, maybe at the end of an operation, we're looking to, you know, to terminate them. But I mean, that's a different story. Just forget I said that.
Baker is explaining how the CIA develops long-term intelligence assets rather than making arrests like law enforcement, and then casually mentions that sometimes they terminate people instead. Sure, he might mean safely severing their relationship with the agency, but in the context of discussing field operations and the differences between CIA and FBI methods, there's another reasonable interpretation of what Baker meant, and his instant attempt to retract it proves he knew he'd said too much. Baker does not claim to be a whistleblower or anything like that. His role focused on showing the CIA as more transparent and straightforward than many believe. In essence, he wraps foreign policy up in a warm blanket and deflects or deflates criticism. He sucks all the life out of what could be an insightful discussion. We can observe this in the way he handled Edward Snowden, the NSA whistleblower who exposed mass surveillance programs. The moment Joe brings up Snowden's name, Baker's mask slips.
Woody, how do you feel about guys like Edward Snowden, guys?
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Yeah, it's funny. See, I laugh when I get irritated.
Is he irritating
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, he's irritating to me, yeah.
Joe Rogan in this moment is slightly taken aback by the reaction. He's starting to clock on to who he's really talking to. Rather than engaging with Snowden's revelations, Baker goes straight into character assassination, comparing him to Robert Hansen, the FBI counterintelligence agent who spied for Russia for 22 years.
Yeah, I mean, that so did Hansen when he started spying for the fucking Soviets. So, you know, that's always the case. I didn't have any other choice. People weren't listening to me. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You know, I'm not getting the respect I deserve.
It is funny they all go to the Soviets, right?
Mm.
He's right over there chilling in Russia.
Yeah. Baker doesn't stop with Snowden. He extends his character assassination to Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who helped publish the leaked documents.
Glenn Greenwald and Snowden, these guys, they all want to, you know, talk about how, no, we've safeguarded it. Well, if they're smarter than the fucking PRC and the PLA out in China and smarter than the FSB in Russia, then, you know, winged monkeys on unicorns going to fly out my ass.
We said earlier that Baker has a media career, but he's also a businessman. On his first appearance in the Joe Rogan Experience in 2014, he was introduced as president of Diligence LLC, a global intelligence and security firm. But by 2022, the story had changed as his company changed name and face while staying deeply connected to the government.
It's called Portman Square Group. And I've been doing this. It was under a different name, and then we were able to do a management buyout. So
his current team of Portman Square Group includes former NSA officials who retired after long careers. So he's not only in the building, but also likely presides over live operations to this day. There's also some very interesting ideas on show from Baker's latest appearance, where the conversation inevitably turned to Jeffrey Epstein. Baker provides what sounds like objective intelligence analysis while potentially protecting deeper secrets. The discussion begins with Joe and Baker agreeing that Epstein's houses were obviously surveilled.
You think this freak show of Epstein wasn't, like, it didn't have hidden cameras or wasn't taped and shit or whatever?
100%.
I mean, come on.
100%.
Yeah.
Mossad, whoever it is that was involved in this intelligence gathering. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Right,
I have
no
idea. Yeah. But there's fucking pinhole cameras all over that house.
Yeah.
When Joe asked directly whether Epstein was working for an intelligence agency, Baker's response reversed to his typical stance.
I can't speak to, the rumors about him working for one intel agency or another, but I will say, if I'm working for an intel agency and I see something like that, yeah, I might find that of interest, right?
Oh, for sure.
And then I would definitely go after somebody to see what's going on. Just if for no other reason than, you know, again, maybe it's a opportunity there.
Again, it's all just non-spectacular, obvious intelligence practices, and definitely not a conspiracy that involves CIA corporation in any way. It's actually really frustrating, and sometimes you can see that in Joe's reaction. Often he just looks down and carries on. He knows Baker has lines that he'll never cross. Whenever you think of Mike Baker, it's difficult to say that his many appearances on Joe Rogan provide a goldmine of insight into the CIA and their operations. And considering he's one of the most frequent guests on the show, this is kind of ridiculous. Rather, he just palms everything off as dull, mild, and boring, ordinary, just bog standard CIA operations like you might see on a Hollywood blockbuster. Viewers even openly mock the whole formula. Comments like, Mike Baker drinking game, take a shot every time he says, I can't talk about that, and you'll be sober all night. And CIA training must include advanced techniques for talking without communicating. The elephant in the room here is whether Joe actually knows this or not, and whether there's actually a higher authority at play here for him to come on the podcast so many times. Whatever you think of that, Baker's persona makes CIA activities, including the occasional termination, seem as normal as discussing the weather. People like him are often called glowies, a term coined by the late program Terry Davies, who suffered from schizophrenia and claimed in a 2017 video that CIA agents glow in the dark because they're so obviously federal agents trying to blend in. The term then spread on 4chan and is widely used to describe suspected government agents posting online or appearing in media to shape narratives. And Baker practically has a glowing neon sign above his head when he makes one of his many Joe Rogan appearances. But after spending some time with Mike Baker, the CIA's friendly neighborhood operative who turns government black ops into casual conversation, you'd think the intelligence community's media manipulation couldn't get any more outlandish. Yet Mike Baker is actually nothing compared to this guy, who might be one of the most suspicious guests to ever sit across from Joe Rogan. So let's meet Lou Elizondo. You see, at least Baker admits he worked for the CIA. Lou doesn't even articulate what he supposedly did.
I had a lot of official jobs.
With the government in regards to, you know...
You know those things. Sure.
That's not how many UFO whistleblowers have ever spoken on the show. Like David Grush, who came on with a proven, highly decorated record. Lou makes some extraordinary claims while hiding behind classification.
There is very compelling evidence to suggest that the U.S. government is in absolute possession of exotic material that is not made by humans.
He also addresses why so much UFO footage is lo-fi, saying that there's 4K HD footage out there. But notice how he says he can't expand on any of it, and hasn't been given permission to talk about it. He just declares that it exists. Yet here he is on a platform known to reach millions of people, admitting that the government is handling alien objects. Joe questions exactly this.
Why is the Pentagon teasing us? Why are they allowing you to say we are in possession of something that was not made by human beings, but not allowed to elaborate?
Lou continued to argue that he was only sanctioned by the Pentagon to say certain things, and told Joe a faction of people will be very mad with him and that his appearance on the show would cause a storm within the Pentagon. But is any of this actually credible though? The investigative publication The Intercept conducted a thorough investigation into him, with Pentagon spokesperson Christopher Sherwood explicitly stating, Mr. Elizondo has no responsibilities with regard to the AATIP program while he worked in OUSDI, up until the time he resigned. Other whistleblowers have never been straight up discredited in the same way. So is Lou compromised in the sense that he's just a fraud? Well, some people say this, but not just because of his vague credentials, but his documented history of presenting fake evidence as real. For example, in 2018, he showed images of UFOs supposedly swarming the US Capitol building, claiming what you see here are real photographs. They turned out to be CGI fakes from a movie and a scan from a 1954 comic book. In 2024, during a congressional briefing, he held up what he claimed was a real UFO photo from a pilot, but it was actually just an irrigation circle easily found on Google Maps and now forever marked as Lou's UAP shadow. Perhaps most embarrassingly, on his paid book tour, he showed audiences a real photo of a UFO mothership hovering over the US embassy in Romania. It was a reflection of a chandelier in a window, and you can literally see the photographer's hairline in the image. But if Lou represents the evolution from intelligence professional to UFO grifter, Annie Jacobson shows what happens when your job turns into complete fantasy. Annie Jacobson is an accomplished author who's written extensively about classified government programs. Somewhere along the way, she started spreading some totally unhinged theories, which became exposed on Joe Rogan. In her book about Area 51, Jacobson claims the 1947 Roswell crash wasn't aliens, it was something far more sinister. On the podcast, when Joe brings it up, she begins by skirting around the topic and saying you'll have to read her book to find out, but Joe urges her to speak. You can tell he's listening to her story like he might to a child, rather than anything more serious.
Now, Stalin and the Russians created something that mimicked a UFO, something that looked like it would be from another planet?
Stalin actually, according to the source, invaded our airspace, which was the deep embarrassment to Truman.
So he invaded our airspace and then let this drone crash land on the ground with these things that turned out to be human. They looked like aliens, but they turned out to be humans that were manipulated surgically to look like aliens.
When Joe asked the obvious question, did she see any photos or documentation of this, you can quickly see her deflect.
Did you see photos?
No, I did not see photos, no. But here's the rub. Ready?
She claims this earth-shattering revelation comes from a single anonymous source who conveniently died before she could get permission to reveal his identity.
He recently died, and he did give me permission to tell his full story after he died, and I'm circling
that?
Around that. Circling around them.
But wait, it gets even worse. According to Jacobson, the US then tried to replicate the Soviet program. And when Joe asks who they use for these experiments...
So what'd they do? Take prisoners or something? Like what? Who do they alter?
He said they were handicapped children.
So he's saying that he participated in something that altered handicapped children. When you say handicapped, mm-hmm. you mean like Down syndrome or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And they made them look like aliens and then killed them?
So her evidence for this wild theory that rewrites both UFO history and Cold War history is one day guy she won't name who told her the Soviets surgically altered handicapped children to look like aliens, then crashed them in New Mexico, and then the US did the exact same thing. Annie keeps going on about her book, just like Joe's favorite Egyptologist did when questioned about new ideas about the history of ancient Egypt.
Okay. How do you know?
How do you know?
How do you know?
I found all the evidence of building the pyramid. We published a book, 1,000 pages. This book is the Bible of the pyramids of Giza Plateau.
There have been plenty of credible UFO whistleblowers on Joe Rogan, and for the record, many bring some compelling testimonies that really do make you think. But it becomes really hard to know who to trust when grifters like Lou and Jacobson use their platform for blatant self-promotion. You can almost say they've been compromised by their own imaginations. Joe's show has attracted politicians of all kinds from all sides, but this one stands out. Dan Crenshaw, the Texas congressman, has built his brand as the tough-talking conservative, who understands what regular Americans are really going through. Many saw him as one of their own, a warrior who'd literally bled for his country. But what came out of his mouth on the Joe Rogan Experience reveals why his own base has turned against him. When discussing COVID stimulus payments, Crenshaw unveiled his real philosophy about ordinary Americans.
Because there's value in suffering. And in today's society, we have convinced ourselves that there is no value in suffering, that the entire role of, say, government is to end your suffering. But this is a false promise. Not only is it a false promise, but it will create a weak society that is unable to sustain itself.
He continued attacking the pandemic relief for working families.
And we have to get away from this victimhood mentality where we actually elevate this idea of being helpless. See, that's what's changed. But does that also mean we need to provide a $1,400 check to somebody who never lost their job and whose biggest hardship has been Zoom meetings?
So suffering builds character for the working classes. Okay, but what about for politicians like himself? Well, while Dan was lecturing Americans about avoiding victimhood mentality, he was busy making his own moves. In March 2020, just as Congress was crafting the first COVID relief package, he made 5 strategic stock purchases in Southwest Airlines, Boeing, Amazon, SPX, Kinder Morgan, and an S&P 500 index fund days before the CARES Act was being voted on and signed into law. Dan failed to report these trades within the required 45-day window, violating the Stock Act. He only disclosed them in December 2020, conveniently after winning his re-election. Before March 2020, Dan had never traded individual stocks while in office. But we need to understand why the CARES Act was important in this context, as it specifically bailed out airlines with $50 billion, $25 billion in grants that didn't need to be repaid, and $25 billion in loans, while providing massive liquidity for companies that saw stocks rise and traders like Dan then profit. When confronted by the press, Dan defended congressional stock trading by arguing politicians needed to best themselves.
So how about we don't make any money either? How about like just cut our paychecks? We haven't gotten a pay raise since 2008, even a COLA increase. So yeah, no, actually, no, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's make Congress a place where only the millionaires can actually afford to do the job.
So a $1,600 stimulus check for a struggling family creates dangerous dependency. But stock trading for a congressman making $174,000 plus benefits, that's just ensuring Congress attracts quality people. He even stated his support for private sector company bailouts because the companies didn't do anything wrong in the pandemic, as if ordinary families did do something wrong.
There was this outrage from the populist right and the populist left against anything that had the name corporation attached to it. And we've forgotten how to ask ourselves, like, why is that? Did they do something evil? What exactly is evil about these entities? You know, they employ lots of people, they create lots of wealth. In this particular case, we're not being bailed out. They didn't do anything wrong, but we're really mad at them for some reason.
Remember, these are the same company bailouts that generated a handsome profit for Dan from his insider trades. Dan's donor list itself is his telling us to why he's fallen out with all sides of the political spectrum. His main financiers include Huntsman Corp and Chenier Energy, both owned by BlackRock, plus a range of BlackRock subsidiaries. BlackRock itself is partnered with the World Economic Forum, but Dan was selected literally as a young global leader in 2019.
Hey, Dan, why are you on the World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders? World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders!
This all tells a tale of classic elite hypocrisy disguised in conservative principles. Corporate bailouts are necessary, but stimulus checks are dangerous for society. When working families needed help the most during the pandemic, Dan said no. There's value in suffering. But when he needed to profit from his congressional position, that was just being smart. Now, Joe Rogan's format often exposes potential frauds, sometimes on the show itself, and sometimes in the ensuing tidal wave of debate. But once the podcast is published, there's no turning back, and everything can be exposed, oftentimes by Joe himself. But in some of the most interesting cases we've explored, some guests have learned to weaponize the show's authenticity. And this doesn't just reveal who people are, it shows you exactly how they want to be seen, the methods behind their appearance in the first place, the reasons why they go on the show. Which is why people are noting that Joe Rogan's podcast is becoming different, to say the least. Again, thank you to War Thunder for sponsoring this video. Don't forget to play for free on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, or mobile now by using my links in the pinned comment or video description. New and returning players that haven't played in 6 months will also receive a massive bonus pack across PC and consoles, including multiple premium vehicles and other goodies, available for a limited time only, so make sure not to miss it.